So good morning. It is a pleasure to join you for worship and to reflect during this time together on serious matters of the day and how we are called to minister to our world. I know that we all share a commitment to the seventh principle, among others. And today I am here as a representative of the board of the UU Ministry for Earth. We were incorporated in 2012 as the Seventh Principle Project and were the originators and stewards of the Green Sanctuary Program before passing it on to the UUA. UUMFE, as we call ourselves, envisions a world in which reverence, gratitude, and care for the living earth are central to the lives of all people. We do this by trying to inspire, facilitate, and support personal, congregational, and denominational practices that honor and sustain the earth and all beings. Our current focus is focusing on environmental justice and climate justice. Today, we live in a world where the frivolous is often side by side with the serious in our media, on our computer screens, our Facebook streams, in our daily conversations. And you know, often I kind of find that annoying, especially like some of the recent campaign allegations and rebuttals, please. And sometimes I find it a little more problematic. You see, I think the real important issue that's not getting the attention deserved in the media or in our daily lives is the climate change crisis. Consider that humanity is now exerting geological agency over the natural environment in a way that's never before occurred. Not just biological, but geological. German philosopher Hans Jonas states that the whole of our biosphere has become a moral problem. And by our many and various paths and our modern ways and lifestyles, we're impacting the earth and the evolution, migration, and extinction of its species and habitats. And that's all species and all habitats. And while we're doing that, we're disproportionately impacting the disadvantaged, the elderly, the children, to say nothing of endless generations to come. We do have a real, concrete, and complex problem that begs for moral convictions and fortitude in order for us to create and engage a range of real solutions to promote the flourishing of all life. Now, for a reality that encompasses and impacts every aspect of our collective lives, across identities, across species, across borders and generations, it seems to me that we are telling, seeing, and hearing a lot of partial truths about climate change. Now, what chance do we have for success, if not some peace of mind, if we ignore the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so far as we can understand it? If in our daily lives and media there is climate silence, we need to not only see and hear the truth, we need to tell the truth. Telling the truth about climate change means acknowledging that it is happening more quickly than previously forecast. We can't escape the situation. Melting ice sheets, warming oceans, sea level rise, droughts, flooding, forest and wildfires, severe weather events, Sandy, local weird weather, today's temperature. It's a catastrophe that's brewing, and species, including our own, will eventually go extinct. And someday, humanity may be looked upon as a failed human experiment. We don't exactly know how it will all unfold and what will happen next. There is a little bit of mystery in life. But as they say, nature bats last. So telling the truth about climate change means admitting there will be increased suffering ahead. With an increased frequency in these extreme weather events and disasters, there will be increased food and water insecurities, increased desperation, fueling more migration. And for humans, that often translates to terrorism, warfare, genocide. And it means the climate refugees are for real right now, not projected 20 years into the distance. And they are among us and coming to us. And they deserve to have a voice and agency in their movements and resettlements. Telling the truth about climate change means admitting that it's about way, way more than light bulbs, cars, and dinner plates. It means facing that inconvenient truth of the role of capitalism and neoliberalism, and the foolhardiness of chasing an illusion of some sustainable level of unlimited growth and expansion. It means waking up to our political and historical reality and seeing that we live in, as Parker Palmer describes, a culture that goes back as far, at least, as 1776, when America proclaimed the self-evident truth that all people are created equal, and then proceeded to disenfranchise women, commit genocide against Native Americans, and build an economy on the back of enslaved human beings. In that context, it means recognizing that the standoff happening now over the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota is not just an environmental issue or a climate justice issue, but it's a matter of long-standing and continued violence against the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and other indigenous peoples, a matter of violence against their treated protected lands and their rights to religious freedom. And it means that understanding the politics and financing involved in this very same standoff implicates lots of our elected officials and wannabes who have vested interest in either moving the gas that's fracked through that pipeline or in constructing the pipeline itself. And perhaps we are among the complicit. So I think we're witnessing acts of Native liberation. Over 50% of the Native American population has mobilized in North Dakota, and this is the first time in history that this has happened, that we have had that intertribal coalition building. Our clergy, among others, are responding to a call for solidarity and witness, and they're showing up there. Some have been there in this past month. Many are headed there next week. Telling the truth about climate change also means acknowledging that a disproportionate impact is not just on faraway small islands, but it's also on the most vulnerable and marginalized in our own cities and states. The elderly, the young, the poor, the uninsured or underinsured will suffer the most from heat, cold, or respiratory distress. And those in coastal and inland flooding areas will be most impacted, those who have the least resources to flee, rebuild, or recoup their losses. On the science side, telling the truth about climate change means acknowledging and accepting that with the melt of the West Antarctic ice sheet last spring, sea level rise projections have increased dramatically and have exceeded the data that was used to negotiate the Paris Climate Accord. And so our emissions reduction targets and other measures to prevent runaway climate change are sort of out of date. They're woefully inadequate. Telling the truth means that we need to admit we're going to need to do better than the Paris Agreement, and more quickly. And it means getting on board with the urgency of making as rapid as possible and just as possible transition to sustainable communities. Communities where energy is clean, safe, sustainable, accessible, and affordable for all. Now, telling the truth about the Paris Climate Accord means acknowledging its weaknesses in process and in the final product, even as we applaud the positive in this historic agreement. The faith community had a fair amount of influence in lifting up the need to protect the indigenous and other vulnerable populations. This was unprecedented in UN negotiations, and their work will continue. In fact, 9 UUs will be among the delegates attending COP22 in Morocco this coming November 7th through the 18th. And their voice will be much needed to amplify the less powerful voices when some of the things come up that are underneath intense scrutiny. For instance, the unsustainable and inequitable system of carbon offsets that has been proposed that in reality commoditize and privatize forests and woodlands and weaken the rights of forest-dependent communities, peasants, and indigenous peoples. Or the lack of legally enforceable protection of human rights and the rights of indigenous people and women in specific. And the limitations in the system for reparation from the global north to the global south for loss and damage already sustained by climate change. Telling the truth about the Paris Climate Accord means recognizing that balancing the debt of the global north with the energy poverty and vulnerabilities of the global south is challenging and messy, messy work. For instance, a recent agreement was reached in Kigali, Rwanda, that used 3 different tracks of limits to help phase out the heat-trapping hydrofluorocarbons, which are used in air conditioners and refrigerators. Now, in India, where the temperature often exceeds 100 degrees, and where heat degree days will be rising thanks to climate change, mortality effects there are about 25 times greater than in the U.S., and that's because only 5% of the population have air conditioning. 5%. So under the agreement with differing tracks, India will have less stringent limits so that they can bring in the readily available and more affordable and more polluting air conditioning units to safeguard its people's health. So this is a concept of give and take and providing energy for those who need it in energy justice. Telling the truth about climate change and the environmental movement means acknowledging our shortcomings and our laggardness as a society on taking timely action. Author Gary Ferguson, who some of you may know, he is a nature and wildlife writer and lecturer. He's my contemporary, and he writes in Orion magazine an article about the failings of the white environmental movement of the 60s and 70s to adequately address climate change. He attributes this overwhelmingly to centuries of hierarchical binary thinking and the movement's privileged exclusivity. He's writing and he's speaking about baby boomers on the cusp of what he calls elderhood. And he says that we need to recalibrate and move through grief and build fresh relationships with the qualities of community and ecology, mystery and beauty. He continues, the fact is, the fight to save our planet goes hand in hand with the effort to stop the oppression of people on the basis of race, class, and gender. Serve one and you serve them all. From a community perspective and from a conservation perspective, going forward into elderhood means laying claim to a bigger imagination. And it should be a truly ecological imagination, he says, one that recognizes that every culture and every group within a culture has its own vast storehouse of essential knowledge. Now, when we tell the truth about our shortcomings, then we can come back into covenant with our earthly community, with our faith communities, with our neighborhood communities, and commit to doing better. If Unitarian Universalism is to be relevant in this world that's rapidly evolving, our congregations need to be engaged in the work of building sustainable and resilient communities grounded in a planetary ethic, not an American mindset, a planetary ethic. We must remain faithful to our UU principles and keep in mind that interdependent web as we help build those communities. We can do this by speaking powerful truths as we think globally and act locally. We, you know, those angry and gentle and gentle and angry people with or without our yellow school bus t-shirts. We can speak the language of power with. Power with by responding compassionately and forming alliances in our own communities. Power with by working together on state and local mitigation and adaptation planning and policies. Power with by ensuring that local and state disaster preparedness plans keep the inherent worth and dignity of all people and beings in the forefront, guarding the rights of the most vulnerable. Telling the truth about climate change means facing and sharing our heartfelt grief. Because when we accept these and other realities, the science, the politics and economics, partial and false solutions, our own shortcomings, we are bound to encounter grief. We grieve the time lost. We grieve the loss of how we have understood our place in the world and how we have understood the world we have grown up in. We imagine the losses for our children's children, our grandchildren. We may even feel a threatened sense of security. From afar, we may grieve the loss of livelihood, habitat, health or well-being, and even lives of those more on the front lines of climate change. As we experience these kinds of losses in the world, Joanna Macy, the Buddhist eco-philosopher, tells us that we must honor our grief. We must not gloss over it and move on quickly and get off to that next rally. We must give full experience to the grief, much like with any other kind of loss, so that we can begin again in gratitude for the gift of life itself, in gratitude for the gift of the moment we have been given and the days ahead. I think that when we tell the truth about climate change, it frees us up to move into that ecological imagination that Gary Bergeson talked about. And as we make plans and take actions, we can ask ourselves and each other, what am I leaving out? And whose voice or presence is missing? As part of our ecological imagination and moving ahead day by day, weeks and months, we're going to need to take a lot of what Joanna Macy calls holding actions. These are things that are meant to hold back or slow down the environmental damage being done in order to protect or restore the natural systems and slow down climate change. And she says we'll also need to adopt earth-friendly, life-sustaining systems and practices. That probably rings a bell with a lot of you. Things like investing in energy and efficiencies and renewables, supporting local and organic farming. Might even include things like organizing boycotts and rallies, acts of public witness, and maybe even civil disobedience if that's your thing. But throughout, we also need to consider what experts are telling us these days. For instance, experts on climate communication at George Mason University and Yale University tell us that the most important thing any person can do is to talk more about climate change and its solutions with everyone you know, a lot more than you are doing now. And because our media is generally silent on climate, they say it's important for us to end what they call the spiral of silence, where even people who care about the issue shy away from discussing it because they so infrequently hear it discussed. It becomes taboo, and that reinforces the spiral. Their recent study showed that only 1 in 5 Americans hear people they know talk about global warming at least once a month. One in five. Once a month. They also say that 7 in 10 Americans rarely or never discuss global warming with family and friends. 70%. Now, from the success of the marriage equality movement, we have learned that more conversations about uncomfortable subjects and keeping focus on the immorality of inaction are successful tactics. So please talk and skew as close to the truth as you can. No telling it slant. So talk about the science, if you can, if you like, or talk about what you observed. Talk about solutions that are being proposed, or about how climate change exacerbates existing vulnerabilities. Talk about what's not being talked about. Talk about your fears and grief. And talk about what gives you hope. What you're going to do to respond. And talk about who's missing at the table. There will be opportunities. You could talk with friends and families about the new movie Before the Flood, which is coming out this evening on the National Geographic Channel. It's the movie that Leonardo DiCaprio put together after spending 3 years studying and touring and filming about climate change. My understanding, it's also going to be available on a variety of portals like Amazon and iTunes and Facebook and Google Play and some other things I don't really, Hulu. So anyway, it's out there. And if you don't see it tonight, you have many opportunities to watch it at another time and invite a friend or neighbor over, talk about it. And talk about what's happening out at Standing Rock and at COP22. You can follow updates on those specific things and what Unitarian Universalists are doing by following the UU Young Adults for Climate Justice Facebook page. I hope that as we talk with and question one another, we engage ourselves in a collective hope that we can imagine possibilities and artfully craft a new future story that fits this time and place in which you live. This is what the writer and environmental activist Bill McKibben hints at when he tells us that he thinks the most important thing any person can do is to not stand alone, but to join others in the climate movement. Movements trump individualism. Now, individual actions do contribute to both climate change and the problem of it and the solutions of it, but they will never be a substitute for participating in the larger movement. And so, in closing, I urge you to engage yourselves in the larger justice movements out there. They are so interconnected. So become more deeply involved in working for justice here, there, anywhere, in whatever area it is that speaks most to your heart. Because climate change will be impacting all these issues that we care about. The Buddhist monk, scholar, and activist Thich Nhat Hanh alludes to this when he writes, "Take one thing and do it very deeply and carefully, and you will be doing everything at the same time." So find your niche. I urge you to live in right relationship with our natural kin, those upstream and downstream, and to consider the impact of your lifestyle choices every day. It matters what we believe, and it does matter what we do. I urge you to revere and take comfort, pleasure, and joy in nature. Perhaps this is where you experience the divine. Support organizations and activists who work to restore and preserve our Earth home. Look around. These are your people. I urge you to turn towards one another and do the best that you can with what you know at the time. Rise to the challenge of working productively with those who are also different from you, especially those from other faiths. When I see you, I know that you and we are those people that can help make the place a better place, make the world a much better place, if we tell the truth. Amen. May it be so.